Okay, so thrilled to have Dave Lynch. He's the CIO of Swissport. And when we have new hires join First Up, we always ask them to share three fun facts as a way to get to know them. So I'm going to ask Dave, what are your three fun facts?
I think this is my worst nightmare question, actually. But so first job is what I will say, which I was born and raised in Blackpool, which had, at the time, you're not allowed them anymore, but an animal-based circus. So my first job was cleaning the elephant enclosure out before the matinee and evening performances. So not necessarily in IT terms, a sort of career starter. But second one I would say was I was lucky enough to get an invite to the BAFTAs a few years ago, and you have a great sort of experience going to the Royal Albert Hall, or at the time, I think it was somewhere in Covent Garden, but afterwards you go back on coaches, which is the bizarrest sort of thing in the world, with all these stars that my wife knows film stars, I have no idea, but Samuel L. Jackson is one person that I know, and you sit in the Grosvenor Hotel and you're on round tables, and I sat there and I thought, bloody hell, that's Samuel L. Jackson. And like a fool, he was sat on his own, and like a fool, I decided to go over to him because my wife was a big fan and ask him, could my wife have a photo taken with him? Little did I know, he literally tore me to shreds. And I would never go and ask him for a photo again. He was not a happy man. But I don't know whether that was a fun fact. And then my final fun fact is the last week of March this year, this is where I'm going to show my geekiness, I am a massive Depeche Mode fan, so I toured America with Depeche Mode, 3 dates in 7 nights. So I went from San Jose to LA to Vegas, watching Depeche Mode the final week the start week of their tour. And I have God knows how many other dates I'm going to go and follow them. But so that's the three.
Yeah.
Good. A fellow Depeche Mode fan.
Okay, so how did a Depeche Mode fan who got his start cleaning out the elephant cages find his way to Swissport?
I've basically always been fascinated by what technology can do for the business. So I'm not a traditional geeky sort of megabyte, gigabyte person. I've always been very interested in the business side. So I went on from cleaning elephants out to Blackpool Transport as their aptly named computer coordinator. And then I got a chance of a job working for a software house in Manchester, which did bus companies and barristers' chambers, believe it or not. And that was, I did about 12 years and I got to be MD, and it was about software development of two ERP solutions. And then, again, I very rarely applied for a job. I got asked to go to Go Ahead Group, which was a sort of Irish-English rail and bus company at the time that bought in, believe it or not, to the glamorous world of car parks and aviation, which was where I got my first taste of aviation and went through SARS and 9/11 with Go Ahead. Then swapped to my own business, then swapped to First Group, which got me to North America, which was 44,000 little yellow school buses and Greyhound, which ran out of Dallas. And then one of the non-exec directors for First Group said, you look like a man who wants to come back into to aviation. And a guy called Warwick Brady, who's the chief exec, I've got something I think you might be able to help me with. And I just fancied a worldwide challenge, to be honest. North America and the UK is great, but can I test myself against, you know, the 6 clusters, 58 countries, 300 airports, and so on? So 5 months in, I'm thrilled to bits, but I think I've got public transport, aviation, planes, trains, and automobiles in my blood, to be honest.
I love it. So you can't go to an airport without seeing Swissport somewhere, but what do you actually do?
It's a very good point. And I sort of going in and out and seeing the logo. So core skills, cargo management. So first of all, Swissport's the biggest sort of cargo manager in the world. We do all Amazon's work around the world as well in terms of shipments. We do passenger handling for a lot of the world's big airlines. So we always call ourselves below the wing, which is, as my mother used to say, seen and not heard. So we actually swap uniforms for certain airlines, but BA, American, Qatar, Emirates, Qantas, you know, Ryanair, EasyJet, a lot of the the big airlines passenger check-in. We do a rather glamorous small division of private jets, which operates, funnily enough, in France and Zurich. Then we do refueling of aircraft, and then the final one, which is probably one of the few perks for working for Swissport, is airport lounges. So we do, our brand is the Aspire Lounge brand, so I get now to go in the Aspire Lounge with my little card. But it's a range of services, and as I say, we're as far over to Brisbane, Sydney, South Korea, Japan, and we come back, Brazil, Argentina, Peru, Chile, Mexico, into North America, into Canada, and then literally all over Europe and all over the Middle East and Africa, Ghana, South Africa. You know, so it really is a challenge, which is one of the things with that I fancied taking up, is the language differences are amazing. So, you know, having an app like First Up that does languages, that's an enormous benefit without getting into anything else. So I think for me, it's how do you do IT across that? How do I engage users across all that, even though we're doing the same things? That's in my mind every day as to how do I get IT used by people who typically are not sat behind a desk. Mm. You know, that's the key challenge.
Yeah. So in addition to them not sat behind a desk in all of the countries and languages you named, what are some of just the additional challenges at Swissport as far as just connecting with your people?
Well, I mean, the fundamental one of connecting with the people. You know, I mean, this morning I was up at 6:30 talking to a weekly one-to-one with a guy from Brisbane who runs Asia Pacific. And, you know, I'll be finishing with a meeting 9 o'clock tonight with the guy based in Miami, you know, running North America. But I think the IT team isn't really the problem. It's actually connecting with the business leadership. And Swissport's a company that's grown by acquisition and hasn't necessarily over the years standardised its applications. So we're running right now with a count of 450 applications, which when you think we've got five business lines is somewhat of an amazement to me. But so my sort of role is to try and get some of the basics in place and try and get IT adopted at the front line, because, you know, the whole mobility, the whole app, the whole getting information out to the front line is a very important thing. And getting my message out is as important as, you know, getting the senior leadership's team sort of feedback from that point of view as well.
So with the 450 applications, how many of those when you got there were focused on connecting to the front line?
Being very, very honest, not many. Yeah. Because the front line was broken in so many different respects, so many different airports, We didn't have one consistent way of doing it. And, you know, when I walked in, as you know, I had experience 5 or 6 years ago of using and developing an app for student. But the First Up platform was at least from my point of view starting to be implemented. So that gave me a great thing of, well, brilliant, it's cloud adopted. It allows me to at least look at things as to how do we start to publish information, how do I start to get messages out there. But I think there was a feel from the comms team that everything had to be perfect. And I've sort of brought a slight change to that, saying that people do want messages. They absolutely want to know what's going on in any business. But also they want to know their payslip. They want to know, you know, can they apply for holidays? Can they do it? Because they don't have a PC to go back to or a browser or so on. So the idea of looking at shift patterns, which was a big thing in Swissport, where these guys didn't know, ladies didn't know what they were working more than 7 days in advance. So that, the whole First Up platform, and I call it a platform, not an app or an intranet, which was talked about yesterday. It gives me chance for ideas. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the biggest challenge with technology these days, is getting users to use a fraction of the functionality in the platforms. You know, it's very, very easy to say we've bought this product, but how much of it do you use? And how much of it is adding value? And you've got to, you know, we'll talk later on about statistics and the importance of data. And I think that's, those sort of things are a combination and just keep like a washing machine going round and round and round, sort of trying to reinvent it and getting more people using it.
Yeah, that's great. So the full vision with the First Up platform is all those things you mentioned. Anything else? The payslips, the...
Stickability. I mean, I want to make the platform of choice. We're calling it One Swissport, which is, I didn't come up with the brand name, but I'm prepared to sign off and say I actually think it's pretty good, but that's down to the comms teams. But I actually like the message of One Swissport. I think for me, I want it to become the sort of application of choice. I think we heard earlier about so many different applications out there now. I don't particularly want so many different applications. I want One Swissport. And what I see is that we develop it with so many different communities. So we have, you know, we had super users in my previous business that develop content. I want to be fairly flexible about allowing people to publish content and what they want. But I also want to let the feedback come from the field as to what they want in the app, because what I learned in Student and in Greyhound was they had better ideas than I did. So if I listened to their ideas and put them in, then strangely the usage of it went up. So my view is to consolidate behind First Up, and it's got a lot of great integration points that are out of the box, which saves me doing that work as well. So it's really to build a community of helpers that will put the content on there, but I will work with the teams that I've got in the back office to make sure that the integrations are there that people want to use.
Yeah, that's great. And how is, you know, investing in the platform, how do you think about it driving from a business perspective? Top line, bottom line?
Well, our biggest problems in Swissport are the attraction of people. You know, COVID was decimated, I would say, the aviation industry, because outside of certain countries, we had to let an awful lot of experienced people go. And then when COVID finished, the airlines launched their schedules far quicker than they said they were going to do. So that caused quite a lot of people. If you've ever waited for your bag over the last 12 months, that was because we couldn't get enough people to come and want to work with Swissport again. And then the other thing is, once we've attracted people into the business, the attrition levels, because if you're bringing a whole new workforce in, people don't like unsociable hours. They're not necessarily sold on what they're doing. So you've got to be very careful bringing people in, and then we've got to retain them. And what we see, one other stat I'll give you is it's €4,500 I've learnt to train up an individual in Swissport. So we don't want to lose too many €4,500 going out the door. So we see this platform as being very, very important from the attrition perspective, first off. But what we're also seeing, we've linked and we are linking with a product called iSIMS, which is a recruitment platform, a clever recruitment platform. And what we're doing is we're using First Up to use the usual thing of phone a friend, of sort of, if you've got a friend that wants to come and work with you, we'll give you an incentive. But by the way, click this link and it goes directly into iSIMS. So we're seeing it as a frontline attraction and an ability to sort of move between systems from that point of view. So it's, for us, 45,000 workers, 75% people without a PC or laptop. First Up is pretty important to be that contact with the front line, to be honest.
Yeah. So what else do you wish the platform had that it doesn't?
Gosh, I think that's
it's not a feature request list, but just hypothetically.
I mean, we talked somewhat about it yesterday. I think that data analytics and the advent of it, I mean, I quite enjoyed listening to content, I think, and fresh content is very difficult to keep producing. So I think the simple things, and we talked about AI yesterday, we talked about how we can self-generate some of that content with, you know, information like birthdays and work anniversaries and so on within it. And I think that would help me, because my natural tendency, I wouldn't say IT people are not communicators, but I'm not a natural communicator, and so help with content creation, and also then help with immediate feedback, you know, what worked, what didn't work, is what I would see as the where I would like to go. I mean, I don't see integration as a problem. I don't see the look and feel as I see getting more out of it from a data and how our users are using it, so we can pinpoint, you know, almost sniper-esque to get the right content on there.
Yeah, no, that's great. And we're even thinking, there's how do you use the data to better inform your content strategy, but then what are other ways that you can What other things that we can give you from an insight standpoint that would help predict things, maybe like attrition or something else?
And that's it, the use of our data. I mean, we have a data strategy that's probably -6 right now in terms of where we need to be. But I think everybody chases after sort of data is gold and all that sort of thing, but you've got to make sure the data is worthwhile and it's decent and so on. And we see the sort of modern interface of First Up as an opportunity to build good data, to be able to make good decisions from. You know, we've got lots of different databases, but actually would they give us, you know, good data and good decisions? So I think First Up's modern, and we talked yesterday about bringing things into First Up and sort of having it as a mishmash of other data, and I think that's also important.
Yeah. And then from a data strategy, how are you using it just in other parts of your business? Helping to predict things.
We have put a lot of effort. If you imagine the model of an aircraft, whether it's cargo or passenger handling, believe it or not, I asked a question about surely cargo is easier than passenger handling, because we all sit on aircraft that are late, very rarely early, but late. And the answer was cargo providers don't tell us when they're turning up. So we can get a China Airlines aircraft turn up at London Heathrow and we have no idea it's arriving, which is bizarre in my mind. How do you plan a workforce to take, you know, whatever the goods are on and off that? And likewise, we have a lot of data around individual flights that turn up late more than early. And it's bringing that data in so that we can plan the workforce better. You know, our idea is that if we've got them in the door, how can we get them with the skills that we need? And then how can we get, you know, them out onto the apron of the airfield to make sure that they are doing the job in a safe manner? You know, those are the sorts of activities. So we're merging lots of different data sets. The whole CETAs, the whole messaging of an aircraft has started its journey, an aircraft has landed, is all public information, to be honest. You can get it on many apps. But merging that with our own data, merging that with employees who are, you know, sort of on airfield. And at the moment we have old-fashioned swipe machines that you have to go, why can't we use, you know, the First Up app to allow us to know who's on airfield, who isn't on airfield, who's within, you know, 200 yards of the 747 or 380 or 350 that's landed, to be able to go do and go service it, to be honest. I mean, how many of us have sat on an aircraft and I'm the first one to say it, that the captain says, and we haven't got anybody to basically move the jet bridge, so we're going to have to wait here for 20 minutes, which is pretty annoying. And sometimes that's our fault, so I'll own up to that. Sometimes it isn't.
Give you his email, you can just call him. Kidding.
And you'd be surprised at people who've got my email now. So, where's my bag? Yeah, so it's another frequently asked question, yeah.
So if we think about, and I love that, taking data, turning it into insights, and then driving action.
And it's slowly. Yeah. It's slowly. I mean, we are at the beginning of that journey, and it's getting, because everybody wants to rush to that, but I think you've got to make sure that the data that you're joining is actually worth joining and is actually providing an insight to the business. You know, I mean, one of the things I've done since I arrived at Swissport was I've actually deleted 20 terabytes of data, which for those non-geeks in the room is actually quite a lot of data, because it was just stored forever and nobody was doing anything with it. You know, it's sort of, so unless it's worthwhile, get rid of it. Yeah. You know, it's sort of, how do we move that around? And a lot of your data for me is timely information. It's giving us here and now, and it's giving us what people like and what they don't like. Probably in 6 months, when an article's been published, it's less useful. It's more about giving feedback to the execs that, did you realise that article that Warwick put out on our latest acquisition got read 10 times more than anything else we've ever done? And our execs don't do that. We do old-fashioned town halls, and we do that sort of broadcast to the world, but that allows one-way communication. It doesn't necessarily allow people to ask questions, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So AI. How do you think AI. About AI from a CIO perspective, from a Swissport perspective?
I worry somewhat about it, in that, you know, what are we going to use it for? I think that often people ask me for, I need a Power BI license, Dave. I want to go and interrogate my data. So I think AI can be, in the right hands, an absolutely brilliant tool. But I think that people have got to really, really hone in on what do they want from it? What are they going to ask it? What are the questions that they want to do? I think if I talk to a lot of people in our business about AI, they think it's this thing that's going to come in and tell them what to do and what they're doing wrong. And of course, that's not what it is at the moment. Who knows what it'll be in the future? But right now, you've got to ask it the right questions in the right syntax to get the right feedback. And I think that's what we're trying to do at the moment. We've got a sort of set of people who can, what I call, read data far better than I can in at the moment, looking at our cargo data as to what does that tell us. You know, retrospectively going back, what we really want is what you said a few minutes ago is, you know, the negativity from some of our employees, you know, where are those pockets and where can we sort of provide positive influence there? Where does it look like people aren't happy? You know, we're a very unionized business. You know, we're not short of unions telling us what we're doing wrong, but actually we'd rather get those messages from employees again in a normalized way rather than being able to check on individuals, but monitoring sentiment and where we see people being happy or not, because the lifeblood of people leaving causes us real problems. And so it's, for me, AI is about giving us timely decisions and maybe not things that we would normally look at. You know, so we want to look at cargo volumes, which at the moment are slightly dropping off because of the world economy, airline figures. You know, we're looking at passenger numbers. We're not necessarily in control of that, but we are in control of our own employees' environment, our work environment. So actually making sure the coffee machine works, making sure that, you know, they've got the right health and safety equipment is equally important to passenger numbers and cargo, because if people don't have that, they leave. And so that's where we see it coming in, and we're building more around employees so that we can get more sensitivity to that information.
Yeah.
Hopefully that makes sense.